to the kingdom. Please be blessed as you listen.
And tonight, I was going to do a little more on the evangelism series, but tonight the Lord challenged me to go back to the baby food series. And so tonight, we're going to do another truth about. I'm excited about the baby food, and it has been probably one of the most controversial of the things that we teach, and it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. The baby food series should be very common. There should not be any disagreement with amongst Christians about what we're talking about. There should be a homogeneous set of rules, and of course, as it pertains to styles and flavors of service, whether we sing songs with the Western guitar and the Western twang and it sounds like country, or whether we sing the universal worship, or whether sometimes we go black gospel or whatever, that's a matter of flavor and preference, okay? Has nothing to do with right and wrong and doctrine or any of that. But as it pertains to the doctrines of the church, the practices of a Christian, what's right and wrong, there shouldn't be too much disagreement. I don't see the Muslim or the Islamic brothers sitting up arguing about whether or not they can eat bacon bigs, pork, or pork chop sandwiches. It's just across the board. You come into Islam, you're not going to eat pork. You're going to pray five times a day toward Mecca. I don't hear a lot of dialogue about, well, what if some of us want to pray against Mecca? What if we want to turn to the north? What if we want to turn to the south? You don't see that amongst those groups. You don't see that amongst the Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, what if we want to read something else other than the world? What if we want to hand out other materials other than the Watchtower? I think it's unfair. You don't get that. They know, as Jehovah's Witness, our material is coming from the Watchtower. Okay? My oldest son, where is he? Okay. And so you don't have all of this infighting amongst other things of this, well, my pastor says it like this, or our synagogue says this, or our mosque teach this, or our kingdom hall teaches this, right? It's pretty much agreement across the board. There may be some differences or whatever. But like Sunday, as we were talking about, Christianity has become a la carte in our country. We pick and choose what we want. Oh, no, we do it like this. Well, our pastor says this. And it's the total opposite of what the other pastor says across the street. And we both Christians. Okay? And so we really need to address this issue. All right. So tonight, as it is now the season of graduation parties, birthday parties, and pool parties, and summer parties, and beach parties, and 4th of July parties, and all of these different parties. Yeah, picnics and stuff. We're getting ready to have one. I want to talk to you about, and I guess we would call this the truth about clubbing and partying. Truth about clubbing and partying. So if you're writing, write this down. I really got a lot to say about this. The truth about clubbing and partying. Okay? Truth about clubbing and partying. All right. So I wanted us to go to Ephesians first. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And it reads this, starting in verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. It's very funny, as we were preparing for this message this week, I did a little poll, Israel, at my job. Did a little poll at my job about Christians and parties, first of all. We're going to deal with clubbing too. But let's start with the grayest area, slippery slope for the Christian, is the park. Most Christians know going to a nightclub ain't right to some degree. So my question today to the Christians was, if a Christian is having a party and a non-Christian is having a party, then, plug it up, brother. If a Christian is having a party and a non-Christian is having a party, should it be different? What do y'all think? Should there be a difference between a Christian celebration, a Christian who's celebrating something, and a non-Christian is celebrating something? Yep. What you think? Well, you know, you always at the job, you always have, it's so funny. And see, Tia, I like messing with people like this because they do not want to make a decision about God. And I do that to move them to a decision about God. Okay? So one of the things that we did, even with my mom, and she talks about this, is I challenged her in the area of the party and stuff. And she got really mad, but Teresa, I was right about it. And she finally came around and said, you know, you're right. So this verse says in verse 17, now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. This is not an option. So watch this. All you gotta do is figure out how unsaved people have a party, and that's not how you do it. Isn't that simple? Ooh, it's quiet. I can hear y'all. Y'all ain't gonna give me no help today, but it's all right. It's all right. Because I've been to some graduation parties already of Christians who knew they was inviting a preacher. Yeah. Now I say this and I testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Gentiles are unbelievers, people who do not believe in God. How do they live, Super Day? Well, they live together and they have sex before they marry. Okay, we're not going to do that, because I can't no longer live as the Gentiles do. They cuss their mom out and give their daddy the middle finger. Well, I can't live like that. If I was, I can't anymore. Isn't it real simple in the Christian life? To just observe those people that are unbelievers and the wickedness and the bad stuff they do. And the Bible says, You can no longer live like that. Right? Oh, y'all ain't gonna give me no help. Look at verse 18. You can no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. I can deal with that. They are darkened in their understanding. Woo! Alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. Oh, gosh. I can get to all of this. They have become callous, have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy, to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, put off your old self. Now, if you are a Christian, if you've been saved, then you got an old self. How many of us got an old self? Old stuff we used to do. Let me see here. Old stuff we used to do. Well, the Bible says you should put off the old stuff. Anybody used to live for the weekend? Live for the party? Okay, the Bible says put that stuff off. Y'all, it's not. And see, Christians try to make this gray area where the Bible don't say that, where the Bible don't say don't hijack a plane and fly into a building either. But you can't do it. But where it say that in the Bible? Where it says that in the Bible, it doesn't say that specifically. Say, thou shalt not kill. So it comes down to us knowing and defining what the Bible says and coming to an understanding. The Bible says, in all you're getting, get an understanding. All right? So look at this. It says, put up your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. Man, this just, y'all, this clears up so much. If people just read the Bible, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Now, I want you to write that down, underline that in your Bible. Deceitful desires. Let me tell you how desires deceive you, because you will find a reason why it's okay to do what your flesh wants to do. Christians will find a reason. Good God Almighty. Your heart will find a reason to deceive you. But Jesus turned water and wine at a wedding party. And we already dealt with that. So anybody listen to this, just, I ain't got time to explain it. Go listen to the truth behind drinking and smoking. But that's deceitfulness in your heart. That's the devil using the word of God deceitfully against you. As he did in the garden. That's what he did. Anybody with me still? Mm-hmm. Okay. So here we go. It says, and to put on the new self. Okay, so you take off the old self and you put on the new self. Take off the old self, you put on the new self. Everybody say that. Take off the old self and put on the new self. You got some stuff to do, man. We got stuff to do. And y'all know how many Christians be coasting, talking about some, well, ain't nothing wrong with it. Well, it's all right. Well, no, cuz. What'd you take off of the old stuff? Your old stuff and your new stuff is the same. For real? How y'all say, really? Seriously? Really? And God is cool with that. So he didn't have to save you from nothing then. What he saving you from? If your old self was as good as your new self. No, he said, put on the old stuff and put on some new stuff. Amen to that. Amen to that. I'm excited about the baby food series and this stuff that we're doing. Now, two schools of thought on it. Number one, that if you just preach Christ and crucified and preach the grace of God, tell people to enter into a relationship with God, that eventually all these things will fall off. And if people truly give their life to Christ and truly enter into a relationship, they will fall off. Right? My sister and her husband, they changed. This was part of their thing, their lifestyle. They changed it before they even heard the teaching of it. So when you get serious about God, things will fall off. Okay? So then why, Pastor, we even got to teach this? Why you got to teach the truth about tattoos and piercings? Because if you really say, you ain't going to really want to get no more tattoos. No way. And if you really, that's true. But there's a reason why. And part of it is that it needs to be taught as truth, number one. So then you know the reasons why you don't do it no more. Always be ready to give an answer. Because them people that used to be with you, they don't want to know why. Oh, yeah. And where they say that in the Bible. And so we want you to be able to tell them. Number two, we've got young people in here. Young people need clear biblical instruction. Just because my mama told me so, soon as they go to their first year in a liberal college, that professor's going to challenge everything your mama, your daddy, your pastor, everybody told you and say that you're not an independent thinker. Yeah. You don't know why you're doing what you're doing. You're just doing it because that's what they raised you to believe. Wow. So that's another reason why. And then the last reason is, because I love what Jesus said. He said, you should know the truth, Super Dave, and the truth shall make you free. Truth makes you free. Truth brings deliverance. So that's what we're going to talk about. Y'all ready? I know some people ain't going to like it. I don't care. George Orwell wrote the book 1984, which I have recommended for all Christians living in this age right now to read George Orwell's book 1984. You might have read it in school. I guarantee you if you reread it now, it will have a different meaning. He was talking about this time of think police. You can't even think a thought and you could be arrested for it. But one of the things George Orwell said, he was secular and an atheist, by the way, so I'm not endorsing him as a person, but one of the things that he said that was true, he said, in a little while in our world, telling the truth will become a revolutionary act. Like, you stand up and just start telling basic truth, and there's people going to be like, offended. My man, Justin out of New York, out of Rochester, his tagline on all of his text messages says this: truth is the new hate speech. Truth is the new hate speech. Whenever you tell the truth, now people think you're hating on them or something like that. Okay, truth is the new hate speech. Well, first thing I want to talk to you about, as far as this partying goes and things, and we shouldn't even have to deal with this too long. But I want to say, celebrating, having a party, is not ungodly. Okay? The word party, the term party, comes from the idea to participate. All the people coming together to participate in a certain activity. Okay? So you can have a Mary Kay party. All the people coming, learn about Mary Kay. Tupperware party, you come to look at Tupperware. So you can have all kinds of parties. All right? And we're not talking about the nonsensical parties. But one of the things that I want to establish tonight is, how should a Christian celebrate? Now, one of the things that the world says about us, and then when you start really getting saved, and then abstaining from certain things, from their standpoint, you become boring Well, what can you do? Can't do this. Can't do that. Can't go here. You can't listen to this. You can't drink that. You can't smoke this. Well, what can you do? What do you do with a weekend? What do you do for your birthday? What do you do for a bachelorette party? You don't have the strippers come in and have erotic cakes. Erotic cakes? Yeah, body part cakes, you know. Some of y'all know about this. My wife's a baker. We every few months we get a call. Very educated people, these erotic cake people. Very educated. They know exactly what you're talking about because they always call and say, do y'all do exotic cakes? We say, yeah, we do exotic cakes. Y'all know what exotic is, right? Y'all don't know. See, y'all don't know. Exotic just means that, you know, it may be Hawaiian, something foreign, you know, something like that. You know, tropical exotic, right? Yeah, we do exotic cake. Would you want some pineapple in your cake? Want a little mango? We can do that. A little papaya? Exotic cakes. Nah, y'all do like, you know, penis pops and bread. Whoa. You mean erotic cakes? Yeah. Yeah, Christian bachelorette parties. Christian bachelor parties. So, can a Christian have a celebration? Yes. Can it be fun? Yes. Does it have to be boring? No. Can it be exciting? Yeah. But it got to be godly. Turn to 1 Peter 4:1-5. 1 Peter 4:1-5. 1 Peter 4:1-5. So since Christ suffered in the flesh for you, the same thought and purpose, patiently to suffer rather than to fail to please God. Now here's the thing, guys. If there ever becomes an option, if it's ever toss up between whether or not you're going to suffer persecution from your friends who wants to do all this stuff or fail to please God, then go ahead and suffer the persecution. If you think your decision may be a little bit over the top and may alienate some people, go ahead and let it be over the top till God convict you elsewise. It's better to err on the side of, how they say it, on the side of caution, right? Than not being cautious enough. You understand? If I ever got a question about my children going with somebody and it's like, how about I ain't going to gamble on that? Yeah. How about I say, no, I'll just keep it. Till I don't have a question anymore. All right? So what Peter's saying here, it says, arm yourself with the same thought and purpose, patiently to suffer rather than to fail to please God. For whoever has suffered in the flesh, having the mind of Christ. That means when you get the mind of Christ, when you get saved, you're going to suffer in the flesh. Some of your friends are going to back away. Some of your friends are going to say, boring. All right? He says, but watch this. He says, having the mind of Christ. He said, whoever suffered in the flesh, having the mind of Christ, is done with intentional sin, has stopped pleasing himself and the world, and pleases God. Whosoever has suffered in the flesh is done with intentional sin. Is done with it. Has stopped pleasing himself and the world, and pleases God. You cannot please the world and please God. You cannot please your unsaved worldly friends and please God. So when you get ready to have a party or celebration as a Christian, you got to make certain decisions. And we're going to help you tonight. Okay? Here we go. So that he can no longer spend the rest of his natural life living by his human appetites and desires. But he lives for what God wills. So the first thing you want to ask yourself when you get ready to have a celebration or have a party is, what is God's will pertaining to this? Pertaining to this certain activity. Because remember, a party is participate. That's where it comes from. Okay? So what is it that you want people to participate in? So whatever the people is going to participate in, you want to ask yourself, what is God's will in the activity? On the activity. Yeah. I was researching parties, and man, it's unbelievable what I came up with on the first page of Google. Sex parties and all, I mean, just crazy. This is what party means to the world. We've been to get wild and loose. We've been to let our hair down, right? Living for the weekend. What people living for? What they want to do? Super Day, what they want to do, Israel? What the men on your job want to do on Friday? Huh? They want to go get up under some more rules and constraints? Huh? Well, I can't wait till the weekend so I can be faithful to my wife. Good God Almighty. Huh? Is that what they're talking about? Can't wait till the weekend till so me and my girlfriends, we can go to a restaurant and get into the Word. Yeah. Huh? Woo-hoo! But we had, and then they come out Monday. Woo, we had a weekend. See, we need Christians going in like that. We had a week, girl. We had a retreat, and we prayed, and people got here. See, you don't never hear that at work. Woo, we had a girl. We had a weekend. And then next thing you see is somebody huddled over in the corner, Teresa, looking at the pictures. Because you can't show the people. I can't put this on the Facebook page, you know. They be looking at your Facebook page. Am I in the house? All right, here we go. So number one, this is so good. Number one, you can't live by your human appetites and desires, but for what God wills. Now, for the time that has passed already suffices for doing what the Gentiles do. Once again, it's a whole nother scripture. Talk about you cannot do it like the Gentiles do it. Okay, Gina. Unsaved people raising their kids, and we say raising our kids. That should just be a little different, little tiny differences, right? No. It should look totally different. Can I live like the Gentiles do? Watch this. Living as you used to do in shameless. They don't be shame about it. They're showing pictures. This is me drunk, passed out. This is me throwing up in the bathroom. This is me mooning the crowd at the club. Y'all see that? There's no shame. Listen, shameless, insolent, wantonness, and lustful desires, drunkenness, living for the weekend. What they gonna do on the weekend? They gonna get drunk. They gonna get high. They gonna get lit up. What they wanna do at the party? What they wanna do? Party! Never cease to amaze me. How old is your son? 2. You go to a 2-year-old's birthday party. They breaking out the beer. Wait a minute. Why are we breaking out beer at a 2-year-old's birthday party? Yeah. It's the party for the kids. Okay. Listen, drunkenness, reveling. Reveling is wild party. Now, reveling, the word reveling means wild party. So we made it modern, and we got the word rave. Anybody ever heard of a rave? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's come from the Bible. What they talking about? Reveling. Drinking bouts. Y'all been somewhere had drinking contests? Yeah. Bouts of drinking. How fast can you drink it? How fast? Go, 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 Seriously? Drinks go in, shirts come off, t-shirts get wet, shirts. I'm sorry. Okay, we got kids in here. I'ma keep it. Listen to this. Drinking bouts and abominable lawless idolatries. They are astonished and think it very queer or strange that you do not run hand in hand with them in the same excesses. They think you're crazy. You ain't getting drunk no more. What's that? Where the beer at? The beer. That's what he said in Texas. Where the drinks? Turn your wet bar into a prayer altar and watch your friends. What the drink? All you got down here is Bibles? They think you're strange. Listen. They think... And they are astonished at you. Y'all know, this is just true though. Yeah, and listen, I just want to say that. Y'all know that the wickedness of our generation has literally run the porn industry out of business and prostitution out of business. Cause there's no few girls that aren't ashamed to do and show at a party, show all kind of stuff, be photographed, be videoed, and it's free on the internet. Some girl, and y'all know I talked about this, some girl, you know, these football players, and you know, they shouldn't have done it. Got the girl drunk, and then something they did, it wasn't full intercourse, but it was something. And they was found guilty. They videoed it, put on the internet. Now the parents are so offended. But wait a minute. My question was to Musa when we was talking about it, who let this 16-year-old girl go to a party with alcohol? Who was responsible for the house with the alcohol in it? Yeah, they need to be prosecuted. Yeah. A lot of parents are all incensed. You ain't double checked to see where your daughter was going? Yeah. Where there's going to be alcohol in there? Yeah. Who's going to be supervising? If I sound passionate about this, I am. Oh, but they will give an account to him who is ready to judge and pass sentence on the living and the dead. And making fun of you for living right. Now in that verse 3, it says you've had, this is another version, the New Living Version, and that third verse says you have had enough in the past. You've had enough of it. Those of us that came out of Israel, I'm not one party too short. I did it enough. And so those of you youth, you ain't got to do it enough. You ain't got to do it at all. You can skip past it and get a shortcut past all that foolishness. Waking up with tattoos, you ain't know how you got it. Waking up in beds with people, you don't even know their name. With diseases whose names you can't pronounce from people you don't even know. It dawned on me, Tia, all of a sudden one day when I was teaching the truth behind drinking and smoking, why these girls are on Maury Povich and don't know who the father is 20 times. I guarantee you drinking and smoking was involved. They was at some wild party. Yeah. So they can't name the daddy. They don't even remember the act. First Peter 4:3 said, you've had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy. Their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties. And he says through this, they worship terrible idols. Paul tells us behind every idol is a demon. So parties are really idolatry. These wild parties. And they're really, it's really worship to an unseen God. There's usually a theme at the party, right? In the frat house, it's a toga party. Who are they worshiping? The Greek gods. Huh? Right? College? Dressed up with sheets? Now, you know it's messed up someday. You going to the party, ain't nothing but a sheet. You know it's going to get crazy. Girl, you dancing with, all she got on is a sheet. And you got mounds and mounds of marijuana and gallons of alcohol. Let's put this recipe together. Young college students, hormones raging, hot body, six packs, looking the best they'll ever look. This is the best y'all gonna look. I'm just telling you. The rest of your life gonna be a struggle. Looking their best at the peak of their sexuality, and they're in the room with nothing but a sheet on, gallons of alcohol over here, and mounds of marijuana over here. What you think is gonna happen? The end of the party ain't gonna be like the beginning, I guarantee you. Listen to this. In lascivious and lust which belong to the head of uncleanness, they take in all as fornication, adultery. This word lascivious, a lot of us don't understand what it really means, but it's just this sweet lust and just feeding all your little appetites, stuff that you want. I got the drinks I want, the food I want. We got the girls we want. Orgies always start off with regular party. It's food, drinks. And then it goes down from there. Diviousness. Having to do with the tongue. Nasty. All those rock stars and R&B stars, they use their tongue, they stick their tongue out. That's the spirit of lasciviousness. Lick around their mouth. My wife, she always make fun of Prince licking the guitar. He licking the guitar for just lascivious, nasty, lustful. Right? Lasciviousness is at the head, and all uncleanness, fornication, adultery, incest. I can't even talk about some of the stuff going on in our country that's really gaining popularity. You know, on this documentary, we're going to hear it all. But there's a lot of even our phrases that we accept. Call me daddy. I like it when you call me Big Papa. What do you think that's really, but what is that referring to? How is calling me daddy sexual? That's incest. We're so messed up. It's gotten so much in our culture and our way of life. Inside of lasciviousness and lust, which happens at a lot of these parties, uncleanness, fornication, adultery, incest, sodomy, all excesses of wine, revelings, raves, banquetings. That's what we do at a party. We banquet. Right? There's going to be a bar at the wedding reception. Okay? Excesses of wine, which refer to intemperance of every sort, by eating, drinking, gluttony, drunkenness, surfeitings, all luxurious feast entertainments, attended with riotings, revelings, obscene songs, even back in the Bible days. And which are here mentioned in the Syriac and Arabic versions of this text, which all lead to lasciviousness and every unclean lust. Let me give you some points and we can close it out. Number one, worldly partying is, needless to say, worldly. Why is it wrong? Worldly partying is worldly. Okay? And it's the result of loving the world. Go to 1 John 2:15. I'm almost done. 1 John 2:15. 1 John 2:15. Everybody doing all right? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is just a little bit in him. It's not in him. That's why when you start loving God, you start, your friends go, what in the world? You start loving the world and your friends, God is going, what in the world are you doing? Your spirit is turning on the inside. Like, this is wrong. All right? So the Bible clearly says that you cannot love the world and love the Father. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Number two, worldly parties corrupt people. Go to Exodus 32, verse 6 through 7. Worldly parties corrupt people. Huh, wonder what he means by that. Well, I've seen some girls go into a party pure or purer than they were and come out of that party corrupted. Having the first kiss from a girl and they liking it. Getting up on the table drunk, stripping it, and now it's on video. Corrupted. Pictures. Facebook. Corrupted. Can never be erased. Dudes going in straight, getting somebody getting them drunk, taking advantage of them, end up in a homosexual act with another dude. Corrupted. Exodus 32, 6 through 7. And they rose up early in the morning and offered and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink. This is when Moses goes up to the mountain, and they rose up to play. Now, what do you think they rose up to do? Play some dominoes? Play Uno cards? Pull out the Monopoly board? No. Play means they had a wild party consisting of sex and idol worship. And when it started to happen, the Lord told Moses, he said, go get thee down, for thy people, which you brought out of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. How did the corruption start? At a party. I remember when I was a little boy, and my mom, she had the same desire as she did with my kids at one point, until she got delivered, and I told you, you can't do that. But she's a dancer. And she wanted to teach me to dance and to like dancing. And so I remember we went to a wedding reception. Somebody got married. And I was a young boy, probably around 7 or 8. She knew I was saved. She wasn't saved. And so in her own little sly way, she would try to corrupt me, so to speak. And that wasn't her intent. But she wanted to make me more like ordinary children. And I was not ordinary. And I got saved at 6. I started read the New Testament. By the time I was 7, I was knocking on doors in our apartment complex. She could not bring a friend over that I wouldn't share the gospel with. So that kind of cramped her style, because she was a partier and a dancer. So she took me to this wedding reception. And during this time, the dance that was out was called The Freak. And that was a group called Lechit. And you might hear it on some of these new movies. You know, they play all the old stuff. But the song, the Lizzo song was Freak Out, you know. And you did this little dance called The Freak. And the freak was that, y'all remember this? You remember The Freak? The freak was you put your hands somewhere on their body. Y'all remember The Freak? Some of y'all too young. Y'all wasn't even born when I was doing that. But I remember I was a Christian. I got saved. I read my Bible every day. I was witnessing in my neighborhood. But I found myself at the age of 7 at this wedding reception, and my mama showed me how to do the freak. And then she put me with another girl, an older girl, who could read one of them ghetto girls. They know how to drop it like it's hot, back it up. And she was pretty and all of that. So I'm a young boy and I dance all night, Super Day. Say the seven. I'm dancing all night and we doing the freak. And boy, it got good to me because then she turned around and I'm freaking. And everybody thought it was cute. My mama thought it was cute. I'm massaging this girl's body. She massaging mine. It was really, wasn't a good dance for a seven-year-old. Y'all know some of them parents that take their daughter and put them out in the middle of the LA company. And they doing the roll and dropping it like it's hot and slapping their butt and everybody think it's cute. It's not cute. But I remember after the party, Teresa, after having danced all night long and feeling that lascivious, that sweet, tasty feeling of you know how it is when it's greasy and it feel good, and it's like I remember feeling that and going, dang, I don't like this feeling, and feeling guilty and going back and praying. Say, God, forgive me. Feeling dirty. Feeling like I let God down. Because some of her friends that were there, I shared the gospel with. Adult people. So it corrupts people. People can go in a party one way. Y'all, I've known people to go into a party with all their brains and mind intact, flip a Mickey in their drink, and they're never the same. A party. Some girl goes in with a sexual purity intact, comes out, 3-4 dudes done raped her, videoed it, and put it on YouTube. A party. Parties can get out of control. Number three, partying, this is the last point. Anybody listening to this that's a Christian, they ought to get it. Yeah. Number three, worldly partying is a bad witness. It's a bad witness. I don't care what your friends say. It's okay, it's all right. Ain't nobody to know, man, you know. Man, they still looking at you out the corner of their eye. When you come back to them talking about some God and I'm going to church. Yeah. You sure wasn't going to church and you was bagging it up? Mm-hmm. First Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Man, let's at the outside. God, let's at the heart. I keep it real. I ain't got to change for nobody. God know my heart. Yeah. I ain't got to keep up appearances. What the Bible says you do. It says abstain from even the appearance of evil. Well, I want to be in a public place drinking a virgin margarita, a virgin daiquiri with salt around the rim. Talking about, but it's a virgin. But ain't anybody from the church or community seeing my picture, they ain't gonna walk up and say, is it a virgin or not? Yeah. That look like I'm drinking alcohol. All right. So I can't even do that. But it's a virgin. The appearance of evil. Everybody know I'm married. Me and some single woman coming out of the hotel together. I can't do that. Everybody know you single, you and some single dude or girl coming out of place someplace together. Damn. Flee the appearance. How it looks does count in Christianity. Yes. I keep it real. No. Yeah. Flee the appearance of evil. And see, ain't no mystery when your friend, because they know what's godly, they know what's ungodly. And And see, once they get you in their little web and get you to do what they want to do, oh, jump righteous, and I guarantee you they're going to distinguish good from bad. Oh, you jumping holy now. They know it's a difference. You weren't saying that when you was drinking from the keg. You weren't saying that when you was up there in the wet t-shirt contest. Ruins your witness. Look at Romans 14:21. It is good neither to eat flesh nor drink wine. Nor any, well, ain't nothing wrong with wine. Listen to this. It's neither good to eat flesh or drink wine or anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or made weak. If you out there, now ain't nobody in this city gonna take me serious. I'm up here drinking a Coors Light. Or you neither. You walk into the church, everybody in there smoking a joint and drinking a beer. You're gonna be like, even if you smoke joints and drink beers, you're gonna be like, hey, that's gonna be church. The societal norm is still preachers don't do that. Christians don't do that. If they really saved, they don't do that. We don't do that. We know what it is. We need to stop playing the game. Now, you know, here's some questions you need to ask yourself before you have a party. All right, here we go. And I'm almost done. Children getting restless. Number one, whenever you do anything and you invite people, you're going to have influence. For this celebration, here's my question for you. Number one, is your party going to pull Christians away from God or pull unbelievers toward God? That's a real simple question. Is the activity you're doing, is it going to tempt Christians to come away from God? Or is it going to pull non-Christians toward God? Can't do both. You got to make a choice. Number two. Can you do whatever you're going to do at your party in the name of Jesus? Pray for the success of the beer keg. Pray that the wet t-shirt contest go okay. Pray that 12 play and R. Kelly on your CD don't skip. Pray that all the Nicki Minaj and Lil Wayne music, that your iPod don't run out of battery before everybody hear every song. Can you pray it in the name of Jesus? Because the Bible says whatever you do in word of deed, do all in the name of Jesus for the glory of God, right? Can you do your part in the name of Jesus for the glory of God? Which number is this? Number three, if your pastor showed up, would you be embarrassed? If Jesus showed up, would you be ashamed? Now, I want to say this for all the I'm not there yet people. It's really even gotten to a whole nother place, because when you deal with your pastor and church people, it's just, this is so ridiculous to me. Me and my wife have been to so many, and then people at church will invite church people to a party, a celebration they're doing. And keep it real. You know what that means, Teresa? They make no adjustments. They do the same thing that they would do even at the church and the pastor didn't show up. Did you know you invited your pastor in the church? You up leading songs or lift your hands, or we worship God, we worship, and then we at your party, you wobbling and doing the butt and backing it up. Them two pictures I don't want to see together. So next time, Tia, I see that person in praise and worship lifting their hand, all I can visualize in my mind is at they party, they whatever party they had, doing the butt. Come on. The really need, come on. And y'all know, our people, my people, we got different races in there, but black folk, boy, I tell you what. Woo! I don't care, saved, unsaved, Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking, ain't no difference in the party. You're going to hear some maze, happy feelings in the air. Bum, 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 bum. You're going to hear black party, you're going to hear some maze. If you got old school left. Music play long enough, you're going to hear this line in the song Super Day. Bum, 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 bum. And if it's modern, you're going to hear, I like it when they call me Big Papa. And if it's ain't modern, ooh, baby, baby. You're going to hear that song. Black wind, save, unsaved, tongue talker. You're going to wobble. You're going to Cupid shuffle. You're going to do the butt. You know, and I just want to say, you know, like, you know, don't invite me to no party. I mean, if you know you ain't going to do, don't invite me to no party like that. Like, I just got to sit there and take it. Because my wife know I can be a jerk. I really can. But really, it's a dishonor. And see, the whole keep it real mentality, especially our people, I keep it real. I don't change for nobody. You should change for somebody. That's called honor. I know people who drink. If they go to dinner at a restaurant, they serve alcohol, but their mother is there and she is a spiritual person and she don't drink and she's a Christian. They will not drink alcohol in front of their mom. That's disrespect. That's disrespect. We grew up in a time, I remember this. They would invite the pastor to some wedding reception or some gathering, and they would tell him to come early, and everybody knew. Come early so you can bless the food and eat. Everybody knew they were. He wasn't going to stay for no 6 hours. If it was a Saturday, he had to go home and get ready for Sunday anyway. So he made the announcement, y'all, it's been good. All right, guess I'll see y'all next time. And everybody with they look coolers and they look brown bags. They waiting, boy. They look, he finna go, huh? But at least they had a sense of honor, Lungy. Yeah. You waited. Yeah. Nobody, no bunch of cussing and drinking while a pastor there. Y'all walk in places, man, I'm telling you. People know me. They know my stand. They know I've led several of them to Christ, and you go into an environment, and they're just like, who is you? Whatever. We're going to keep it real. Oh, no honor. They mom, dad, that say, you know, holy people. We keep it real. The term honor, we talked about it before, is making, if you write this down, making an adjustment to show proper respect. Making an adjustment to show proper respect. You make an adjustment. Even if you ain't there yet, you know, you still do certain things. Don't invite your church family over to your house to see you do that stuff. You still growing? You don't do that around them. Yeah. You got new Christians, baby Christians and stuff. You don't do that stuff. Because it's going to cause somebody to stumble. Look at 1 Timothy 5:17. I'm going to close. Let the elders that rule be counted worthy of double honor, especially those that labor in the word and doctrine. You know, there's shit, and I know all the pastors done tried to dumb themselves down, and I don't wear suit and ties, and I don't wear double-breasted suits, and I can wear jeans and t-shirts like y'all, and we've dumbed it all down so that we're more received by the public, and people can more relate to the pastor and all that stuff. But y'all, and I'm not preaching to anybody in it because y'all all do this, but there is a certain level of respect. You got a cussing problem, you should try to restrain that around people of honor. Yeah. You know, we got a whole generation that use the MF word right in front of their mama and stuff. I don't give a blank. What? That's your mama sitting there. I mean, when I was growing up, I would be embarrassed to watch, even hear cussing, some movie sitting there watching with my mama, or some nudity scene or something like that. Honor is not wrong, y'all. And when you're a Christian, you should honor other Christians. You should honor the body of Christ. You should honor your leaders. You know, devil is a lie. We take the married couples out to some restaurant, and Israel over there, I keep it real, and give me a course, and we at the marriage dinner or something. You can't restrain your flesh. Then that's really a problem. And I'm just saying, for those of you who say, I ain't there yet, there's still proper protocol in the body of Christ, man. Yeah. Better not to eat flesh nor drink wine or anything thereby your brother stumble or get offended or is made weak. So that's for the weak Christians, the new Christians too. They riding in the car with you, Tia, and they hear you say, this person really peed me off. You know, Christians can use that word because that ain't a cuss word. So if that ain't a cuss word, then Teresa, can I say it in church? Let me put it in the title of one of my sermons. God has really peed off with y'all. Y'all gonna take that? Well, I thought it wasn't a cuss word. Huh? That term sucks, you know. It's okay, right? It's okay to use? Well, let me use it in the title. Your life sucks without Jesus. Observe. Y'all going for that? No. Y'all know right and wrong. We know what's right and wrong. We play around with it.